Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Well, it's official. The PGA Tour season is over. Hey, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. And Alex, your initial thoughts on that Jordan Spieth performance?
Well, I mean, it ended all conversations in so many ways, Bob. It just showed you that, A, the playoffs are only important when you get to Atlanta, which kind of Jordan Spieth has said throughout, if you're in the position he was in, which was one of the best players on the planet. And then, two, this whole discussion about player of the year with Jason Day, and what if Jason does this and what if Jason does that? Well, Jordan Spieth took care of that, so there's not going to be much debate now about who should be player of the year. And it just shows you that, what was it, not even a month ago, people were wondering if Jordan Spieth's run had been was over because of his two missed cuts at Barclays and Deutsche Bank. And now all of a sudden, they completely have forgotten about what happened in New York and Boston, and he's the flavor of the month again, maybe actually flavor of the year.
You know, Alex, what fascinates me is, when he does miss the two missed cuts, somewhat speculation about, as you alluded to, player of the year with Jason Day. But I'll say this much, in spending time down in Atlanta at the Tour Championship, I capitalized by any player that I was able to come in contact with. I specifically asked them the question, who is player of the year? And I didn't get one vote for Jason Day, and it was always the same argument. Two majors just about trumps anything else anybody else has done.
Well, that's absolutely true. And Steve DiMaglio from USA Today, we'd have this debate at BMW, and he'd go, well, you know, Jason Day this, Jason Day that. And then he said some of the players would say, you know, majors, who made majors such a big deal? Well, guess what? Majors are a big deal. They are the measure by which we talk about every player in the history of the game on how good or bad that person is. Colin Montgomery was a good player. He was never a great player, never won a major championship. And then you got somebody like Zach Johnson, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame because of the fact that he has two majors and doesn't have anywhere close to as many wins as someone like Colin Montgomery.
One added thing, Alex, and I think it's certainly very important. Yes, Jordan Spieth won the first two majors, but look how close he came at the Open Championship at St. Andrews. And then he finishes second at Whistling Straits in the PGA Championship. The collective body of what Jordan Spieth did in the majors this past year is absolutely incredible.
Question, and the argument was too, even though Jason Day won only one major, he had a pretty good run in the majors as well. But the bottom line is that Jordan Spieth, after winning the Masters, after winning the U.S. Open, was doing this with the pressure of people talking about Grand Slam discussion, which is something that really hadn't happened in a long time. And the other part of this, which is somewhat ironic, Bob, and I was thinking about this the other day, you have Jordan Spieth at 21, then 22 years old sometime this year, wins the U.S. Open, goes to world number one three times now, and wins the FedEx Cup. Those are three things that maybe one of the best players we've ever seen in our lifetime, Phil Mickelson, will never achieve.
What do you mean by that? Explain for not only myself, but our listeners.
Well, I mean, Phil, where he is at this point, will probably never win a U.S. Open, even though he desperately wants to.
Oh, okay, okay. I get that point. I mean, which
no,
is...
you didn't get that point. Be honest, you didn't get that point at first. It was clearly way over your head, and I had to explain it.
Yeah, but you know the beauty of that statement, Alex? It illustrates really clear on how tough it is to win a U.S. Open. I mean, Phil Mickelson, one of the greatest golfers of all time, no U.S. Open. Sam Snead, one of the greatest golfers of all time, no U.S. Open.
Well, I mean, it's look, majors are hard to win. And in Phil's case, he's had numerous opportunities, a lot of second place finishes. And Jordan Spieth could have easily been one of those guys that had a second place finish at Chambers Bay, if not for Dustin Johnson and what he did on the 18th hole. But that's the whole point. It's not just how good you are. You have to have some luck involved as well. And Jordan Spieth was not only very good this year, but had a lot of luck on his side. It's one of the things that Phil Mickelson has not had when he's gone to the national championship.
Let's move on just a little bit and talk about somebody that's been very good at a lot of different levels in the world of golf, besides radio, time on TV with Golf Channel, writing for Golf Week. And now I'm very proud to announce to our Grow Room listeners that my partner Alex Maselli has been named publisher of Golf Week. I mean, what an honor, Alex. And I know you really deserved it. I know you really worked hard, and I know you're going to do a great job. But for our listeners, your initial thoughts on this announcement.
Well, you know, Bobby, it's not any different than we were just talking about. You got to have a lot of luck in these situations. And, you know, it's just how it is. I reflect back on the things I've done over my life, and this was never part of the equation, being involved in golf, actually, or certainly not to this level. And so it'll be interesting. There's a lot of work to be done, as people know. The print in specific media in general is a tough place to be right now, especially in the golf market. And so we have a lot of work to do, but I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully I'll be continuing to work with you guys on the Grill Room, because when we started it over five years ago now, and I hate to see it change, but I'm looking forward to what I guess is clearly going to be a challenge, and it's going to be a lot more challenging than a 3-footer. I can tell you that.
Well, if anybody can handle it, I have a lot of confidence in you. I remember the first time I met you, I believe it was in 1994, the Tour Championship being played out at Southern Hills, and I had gotten wind that we were going to have a meeting, and I got to our hotel before you did, and I had them put your name up on the marquee. Little did I know that I was 15, 16 years ahead of my time by putting your name up on that marquee, because now it's come full circle, and there's no loftier position on any print publication than under the title of publisher. Congratulations again, Alex. Very well deserved, and as you alluded to, certainly going to be a very challenging task in this day and age with print media, but if anybody can do it, I have a lot of confidence that you'll be able to accomplish that goal. Before we get into the Tour Championship by Coca-Cola, we want to take a minute to thank the Ramada Plaza Atlanta Downtown for hosting the Grill Room Golf Show crew. It's a great property with a very friendly and efficient staff, and it's located close to all that Atlanta has to offer. The rooms have been recently upgraded, and take it from me, they are very comfortable. So if you're planning a trip to Atlanta for either business or pleasure, please consider staying at the Ramada Plaza Atlanta Downtown. You can call them at 404-591-2000 to make your reservation, or visit them online at RamadaPlazaAtlantaDowntown.com.
The Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, but also the veterans, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com. Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll dig into the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game.
Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats.
From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter.
Once again, want to thank everybody for being part of our Grill Room family. You know, the Tour Championship presented by Coca-Cola. Well, it was Jordan Spieth winning all the marbles, Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup. And now, as Alex alluded to at the top of the show, no doubt that he will be Player of the Year, a whopping $11.485 million as the combined total of the FedEx Cup's $10 million and the Tour Championship's $1.485 million. That's quite a week. And when we lump it all together, Alex, I come up with somewhere around $1 million for every year he's been on the planet, or earning this past season $22 million, in excess of $22 million on the PGA Tour. Pretty lofty for a young 22-year-old.
Right, and you didn't even add in the endorsement deals, which we don't really know how much they are, but I'm sure that it's going to push that number up, maybe even double, if not more. He signed a new deal with Under Armour just about a year ago. There's no question that this kid is on the rise. Question is how long can stay up there? We've seen a lot of good players do this. Greg Norman, we've seen Tiger Woods. I mean, Phil Mickelson to an extent, even Vijay Singh. But this is kind of something different and rare, and I think that's why it's so compelling, Bob. Is that Jordan Spieth is just a different version of some of these guys, and he captures the audience, he captures the interest of golf fans and the non-golf fan, which is desperate for what the PGA Tour is trying to do, and obviously the television networks. But it's a huge, huge thing, and it just shows you how good he can be when he was struggling and then found it and fixed it and just went ahead and really beat up the field pretty well at the end of the day.
And when I think about it, Alex, if somebody said, well, what about next year? He's going to dominate in the majors. I don't think he has any better chance of winning a major next year than Rory McIlroy or Jason Day. I mean, that's how lofty their skills are in playing this game. And, or maybe none of the three are going to win a major next year because the talent pool is so deep.
Well, I think that's it. The talent pool is so deep. I mean, you would have thought maybe Jordan Spieth had a chance to win a major at the beginning of 2015. You wouldn't have thought he would have won two and would have been right there in the other two. So, and we talked about it as well. I mean, the Open Championship, Jordan Spieth was a shot out of being in the playoff, a shot. So, I mean, that's just how close things can get. But I agree with you. Those two other guys you talked about, Jason Day and Rory McIlroy, they're right there with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth right now, I think, in Vegas for the Masters is a 6-1 favorite to win the first major of the 2016 season. And Rory McIlroy and Jason Day are right behind him at 7-1. So, you know, that's just how close it is in Vegas. And I think you're going to see adjustments go on. But the end of the day, right now in the 2015 season, Jordan Spieth answers the question about who played the best in 2015. There's no doubt in my mind. And, you know, I think that's the important thing. It's not often that we walk out of a season lately where we've known who has been the best player. Jordan Spieth has answered that question by what he did in Atlanta.
And I'm going to do a little service for our loyal listeners of the Grill Room. If you think 6-1 odds to win the Masters is very attractive, realistically, it's probably closer to 15, maybe even 20-1 when you consider the number of quality players that are going to be down there. Yes, he's won two green jackets, but in a sport where it is all what have you done for me lately, we'll have to wait and see on how he does. But, you know, Jordan did tell us he prepared for the Tour Championship like he did for a major, both mentally and physically. Let's give a listen to what he had to say.
And I just stayed as consistent as possible. But my short game was phenomenal this week. We worked a lot on it from Monday morning on out here on this Bermuda. We played the smart shot, struck them the right way, and hit good solid putts. And it was incredible. I mean, the walk-up 18 was nice. You know, after I hit the tee shot on 17, I knew it was over.
All right, he knew it was over after that tee shot, but he made miles of putts, Alex. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but if your golf game or the success of your golf game is predicated on consistently making 25 and 30-foot putts, I just don't see how anybody could keep that up.
Well, I mean, one of your friends used to make a lot of those type of putts as well for a very long time. I mean, you know, if you're a good putter, it's very few things that can derail you. And Jordan Spieth is clearly one of the best putters on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, but you were alluding to Tiger Woods. And if we reflect back, Alex, it really wasn't, you know, the 25, 30-foot putts that he made that really stood out. It was the 10-footers that he needed to make. I mean, those are the ones that I feel, in my opinion anyway, separated Tiger Woods from the rest of the field. Let's hear what Jordan Spieth has to say about his putting.
I had a lot of confidence in rolling the putter. Big change I made this week was I started using the line on the ball to line the ball up on putts that were non-field based, so shorter length putts and ones that weren't breaking a ton, because I felt like my alignment with my putter was a bit off, and it was. It was huge. I almost always miss these downhill left to righters low. Almost always miss them right because I just keep adjusting my alignment. What this line did was it allowed for me to find a good spot right in front of the ball where I can look at to roll it over, and it allowed me for my putter to be aligned right where I wanted to be before I took the stroke. And it was key. I made a lot of putts throughout the week that I miss a lot of the time and were able to make with that little bit of an adjustment to give me just that much confidence.
And our listeners can take full advantage of that tip. When you think about if you've ever bowled, the trick in bowling is to roll it over whatever arrow that you're aiming at. In golf, pick a spot right in front of your golf ball that you think that if the ball rolls over that spot, it'll go into the hole, and then just aim for that spot. It's a lot easier than aiming for the cup, which is a lot further away. One more thing I want to hear from Jordan Spieth, Alex, is what he's going to do with that, quote, bonus money of $10 million.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's fantastic. I have an opportunity now with a year like this and a bonus like that to celebrate and to share it with the people that have made it possible. And that's kind of the plan. I mean, our team did an unbelievable job this year. Everything was exactly how we needed it to be to peak at the right times. If we can continue to do that, then we'll have more seasons like this. But right now, we're going to enjoy it, and I'm able to help out those who made this possible, because it was not a single effort.
Hey, Alex, let me ask you, listening to Jordan Spieth talking about the ability to share it, does that speak well for the amount of money Mike Grella, his caddy, might be getting?
Well, I know that that Billy Horschel gave Micah, his caddy, last year $1 million out of the $10 million bonus. You know, this has always been, this started to be a bone of contention back when the FedEx Cup started, Bob, because the players didn't get the $10 million if they wanted. They only got $1 million in cash, and $9 million went into the retirement fund. And the other guys didn't get any cash, basically. They just got money in their retirement fund. And since it's changed, where it's, I think it's $9 million and $1 million, I think that's how it goes now, $9 million in your pocket. It kind of changes how the players look at what they should do for their caddies. I don't think there's any question that Jordan Spieth is going to compensate Michael Greller more than adequately for the FedEx Cup win. But you have to remember as well, he's also got the win for the Tour Championship as well. So that's going to be an added bonus. So out of the 11 point whatever million dollars that was up for grabs that Jordan Spieth won, I think Michael Greller could probably retire after his payday this week as well. And I expect that, because that's the kind of person that Jordan Spieth is. I want to add another thing to you. We were talking about putting. I took a quick look while we were listening to the cut from Jordan. He was 61 of 66 inside 10 feet this week, and he made four putts over 20 to 25 feet and two putts over 25 feet, with the longest being 46 feet 7 inches. And he had average distance of putts made per round of 108 feet, just showing you how good he was this year at the Tour Championship.
You know, Alex, as adequate as he is as a ball striker, you put that putter in his hands, and if he puts this way, we may be looking at Jordan Spieth at the top of the game for a long time. It wasn't nice down there this week, I'll tell you that much. Rainy, cold, windy conditions. But Eastlake, who has been redesigned by Reese Jones, was in magnificent condition. It is just a tremendous golf course. Nice job by Reese. Let's talk briefly before we move on some of the play of the other players. Stenson seemed to be in complete control until Jordan literally broke his back with a couple of these long putts. But Henrik didn't get the job done, but certainly played well.
Well, I think what's interesting, Bob, is he was my pick, actually, this week. I think a valid pick, because he was the only one in the top five that had won the Tour Championship before and the FedEx Cup. So that's why he was my pick. But what was interesting on the 18th hole, when it was over, as Jordan said, walking up the fairway on 17, he thought it was over. On the 18th green, when Stenson made about a 20 or 25-foot putt for birdie, that was worth $1 million to Stenson. And that just shows you, when we get down to this level, exactly how much is it involved by making a putt one way or the other. So Henrik Stenson is more than made up for some of his missteps in his business life when he was invested in Stanford Financial through IMG and actually lost a considerable amount of money. I think he's more than made up for that now on the golf course.
Well, he's one of the good guys. I like him. He looks like he's a real sourpuss with that scowl that he plays with, but certainly has one of the better senses of humor of anybody in professional golf. Good week by Justin Rose.
Yeah, Justin Rose is playing better. You know, if anything, it's about his putting. I think that's what's held them back a little this year at times, but played well. Danny Lee, if you take Jordan Spieth out of the mix, and I guess you have to kind of take Jason Day out of that mix as well, and possibly Ricky Fowler, those three. If you put those guys aside, to me, the guy who's player of the year in a lot of ways is Danny Lee. I mean, he found something sometime during the middle of the year. He went ahead and he parlayed that into a win. He's gotten himself really close again numerous times since that win. And now here he comes up tied for second at the Tour Championship. He's going to be in the he's going to be at the President's Cup in Korea. Danny Lee is really shown the game that he had, the promise he had coming out of winning the U.S. Amateur. He's really shown that that now in the professional ranks. It's taken a while to kind of get comfortable, but there's no question now that Dan Lee can be a force going forward on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, we may have to add to that big three, which many argue already has been added to, because it's kind of unfair to leave Ricky Fowler out of the big three, winner of the Players' Championship earlier this year. Jason Day, if you looked at it from the outside looking in, Alex, you almost got the sense that, you know, just about ran out of gas, had an incredible couple of months, ascended to the number one player in the world, which was a lifelong dream of his, but looked a little tired down at East Lake.
Well, you can understand that. I think there's no question that he's had a pretty decent run, obviously, since actually the Open Championship, winning in Canada and continuing to win the PGA Championship and continue to win in the playoffs. But I think also you have to remember that, you know, some courses are set up for some people. I mean, East Lake is not a course for everybody. It's Bermuda grass. It's completely different. All the courses we play in the playoffs are not. They're all bent. They're in different places in the country. So, you know, Jason Day may not be as good on Bermuda grass, and it's something you take a look at. But I agree with you, Billy. I think the main reason for this week's not really contending the way he'd like to was probably just the fact that, you know, there was just no more air in the balloon.
One final note on Jordan Spieth. We told you that he made $22 million on the golf course this year. Latest estimates are that it'll be worth about $50 million in endorsements and in appearance fees. So pretty lofty numbers for the outstanding 22-year-old. We'll check out what else happened around the world of golf when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and Golf Blot, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it, the Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
I'm Bob, he's Alex. We said we're going to go around the world of golf. Let's begin with the European Tour. A familiar name comes out on top, Alex.
Yeah, Chungjae Jundee wins the Porsche European Open for his seventh European Tour title. And a lot of that's happened in the recent couple of years, the winning part of the equation. It's quite interesting that we talk about some of the Asian players, not only on the U.S. Tour, but obviously on the European Tour, and played very well in what is interesting conditions. Hunter Mahan was over there since he didn't make the Tour Championship, Bob. It was kind of interesting because he shot like something like 67 or 68 first round and then shot 75 or something second round and didn't even make the cut.
Well, he got his appearance money, and he probably got out of town. But Hunter Mahan, certainly, I'm glad you mentioned it. This was the first event ever, the Tour Championship, that he missed in the FedEx Cup ever since it started Congratulations to Hunter Mahan. Also, congrats go out to the Nature Valley First Tee Open champion being contested at Pebble Beach. Esteban Toledo wins by one shot over Tom Watson for his third Champions Tour victory. And by the way, a little note on Tom Watson taking a stand. The PGA of America wanted to put Tom Watson in the PGA of America Hall of Fame. Tom Watson said, "I declined the invitation," which was in direct response to what happened with Ted Bishop.
Quite interesting. You know, Watson never won a PGA championship, but he did win a senior PGA. Obviously was Ryder Cup captain twice. But I find what I like the most about this is, A, Watson at his age, 65, Bobby?
Seven.
67. 67 years old, finishes second at Pebble Beach. I was looking at the senior amateur this week that's being contested up in Egg Harbor in New Jersey. And Vinny Giles, 72 years old, one shot out of making match play in the senior amateur at 72. It just is amazing how good some of these guys are at, you know, at advanced age. It makes me feel like I got a chance now to at least do something with the what time I have left on the golf course.
Well, I'd get rid of that feeling. It's a false feeling, Alex. Believe me. Anyway, let's move on to the Web.com Tour, the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship. It's the third event in the Web.com Tour Finals. And a name we're pretty familiar with comes out on top.
Yeah, Andrew Loop, 26-year-old, wins. And obviously that win gets him back on the PGA Tour. But more importantly, you know, when you win on these tours, no matter where it is, it kind of just propels you for what's going to happen in the future. So you hope that Andrew Loop can take this and get himself into better situation on the PGA Tour. It's his first career win out of 44 Web.com Tour starts. So, you know, look, these events are important. We talked about this the other day about how important these events are and how good this system is that's in place now in regards to getting back on the PGA Tour versus the Q School, which was six rounds hit and hope pretty much.
Well, we'll see what's next on the schedule after this brief timeout.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com, and heard on, TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
What's next on the schedule? Well, Alex and I spent a huge portion of this show talking about the season-ending event on the 2014-2015 season, and now it's the off-season. Oh, but it's only off for 7 days, and then we kick it right back up again with the Fries. And Alex, this may be the shortest off season in all of sport.
Well, I mean, it's just a hiccup is all it is, if you're being honest about it. And I have to correct you, Bob. I'm sorry. It's really 2 weeks instead of a week.
Oh, that's right. President's Cup.
Yeah, we got the President's Cup. So, but, you know, it's just this is how it is. This is the players complain at times about it. But, you know, they're not complaining when they're cashing the checks at Fry's or in Mexico or at McGladry's or I should say RSM now or, you know, whatever event it is. So, I mean, this is what it's about. I mean, you have to focus and look at these events to get yourself ready for the FedEx Cup season in 2016. That's why some players will play these events. They'll go over to Malaysia. They're going to go with the HSBC champions. I mean, this is how it is. But that's 2 weeks from now. The season ending was yesterday for the Tour Championship, but we still have 1 week to go on the web.com, and that's going to be the Tour Finals, which are going to be the TPC Sawgrass at the Dye Valley course, and that's going to determine basically who the 50 players that are going to get their cards at the web.com are going to be this year.
Yeah, it's a big event on the web.com. As you said, Alex, occupations will be determined on where you get to play. And it's not even just getting inside the top 50 to get your card. It's closer to number one that really matters. The closer you are to number one, the better chance you have of getting into some of the more popular events. So anybody competing in the web.com finals this week, the Grow Room wishes each and every one of you the very best of luck. Well, the LPGA Tour, Champions Tour, they have off weeks.
That's right, Bobby. You know, one thing I wanted to say, too, is the best week of the year, maybe on the European Tour, is the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, which is at St. Andrews, as well as Kings Barnes and Carnoustie. It's a pretty good field that's usually attends, including Stuart Sink is going to be there this year, John Daly, Ernie Els, playing with a lot of guys that they like to play with because it's a pro-am format. Louis Oosthuizen has decided to not tee it up there, hoping that he can tee it up at the President's Cup in a week's time, as well as Jim Furyk, who's off, is taking another week off, Bob, after skipping last week at the Tour Championship because of this issue he's got with his wrist. So we got two guys that are in question, but the Alfred Dunhill Links is, I think, a great event, and usually it's the week after the Ryder Cup, so it's usually, for the Europeans, a big celebration. What's interesting this year is not only is that going to be going on at St. Andrews, but Martin Slumbers, the new chief executive of the RNA, is going to be started his job on Monday. So not only is that going on, but also Martin Slumbers is going to be starting his job at St. Andrews as well. So it's a big week at the old course.
And Alex, just one point of interest. People are wondering about Jim Furyk with the injury. He had to withdraw from, the FedEx Cup playoffs, the Tour Championship down at Eastlake. What does Jay Haas do? He has a player that right now can't play. He actually has until Wednesday prior to the start of the President's Cup to name a replacement, and he can name anybody that is eligible to play, so the team's not going to be playing one man short. And looks like Nick Price obviously is in the same position when Louis Oosthuizen, but they'll have until Wednesday, the day prior to the start of the event, to name a replacement. And next week, we will preview the President's Cup. And Alex, I know with your recent promotion to publisher of Golf Week magazine, we touched upon it at the top of the show. We want to congratulate you again on that promotion. You still going to be going to the President's Cup?
I leave for Korea a week from, well, now it's not even a week anymore. I leave for Korea on Sunday morning.
All right, just one bit of advice, especially now that you got this great job. It's South Korea that I want you to go to. Don't make a mistake at the airport and tell them you want to go to North Korea. We may never, ever see you again.
Well, you know, that's funny because, first of all, I know that there's a lot of Europeans that sometime, not a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are some Europeans that have messed up Augusta, thinking they were going to Augusta, Georgia, and ended up in Augusta, Maine. I can tell you with 100% certainty that even if I wanted to go to North Korea, I couldn't get there. So I'm not really worried about it.
Unless you call Dennis Rodman, I guarantee you he could get you in. But probably not going to talk to you before you embark upon that trip. Have a great time over there, and let's root on the United States team as they go up against a formidable foe under the tutelage of Nick Price. Should be a lot of fun.
I think so as well. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grow Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com. By the way, The Grow Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course on our website, thegrowroom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. Those people do such great work. Also to Ion Loop and to Golf Week and to GolfBlot.com. So on behalf of Janice Self, Alex, recently promoted to publisher of Golf Week magazine, Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.